I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They're just messing with her, touching her, and manhandling her.
I see. We call it Shadow Man.
He definitely pushes the living away.
I've got a bone-chilling fear for the safety of our kids.
This room is bad, bad.
I feel like there's evil in here.
Why the f*** is he torturing this girl? Something bad's going to happen.
My name is Amy Allen.
There's panic, and it's almost like a butchering.
I see dead people.
They all died horribly.
I speak to dead people.
Get out of here!
And they speak to me.
Vicious.
But there's only one way to know if my findings are real.
It doesn't matter where you are, I'll find you.
I rely on my partner.
I'm Steve DiSchiavi. I'm a retired New York City homicide detective.
This guy's a real piece of work.
And I know every person, every house, a secret.
I feel like I live in a house of hell.
It's my job to reveal them.
This is not good.
But Steve and I never speak.
We never communicate during an investigation.
Until the very end.
I want my life back.
When we uncover if it's safe for you to stay.
Is he trying to kill her?
Or time to get out.
Oh my God.
This is going to kill us.
I'm down here in Macon, Georgia. Amy and I got called in by a guy named Jeff. He says his entire family is being terrorized by activity in the house. But he's most concerned about his youngest daughter, who's being physically attacked and can barely sleep at night. Now, he's a man of faith and he tried prayer, but it seems to be getting worse. He told me we were his last hope.
Before Amy arrives, I look for anything that can influence her findings. Family photos and other personal items need to be covered or removed. When I'm finished, the location will be ready for tonight's walk.
Coming up, my body wanted to run, like an instinct, you know, when you're being hunted. I definitely get that there's a lot of chaos going on around here. It's extremely distracting. I feel extremely ill, really bad, and very painful. It's bad.
When we spoke on the phone, it sounded like you were at your wit's end.
Last couple of years, it's been hell to live here.
I mean, what are you and your family going through?
We're talking about anywhere from footsteps to shadow figures.
Okay.
To hitting, scratching.
Who all lives in the house?
It's myself, my wife, Tammy, Jessica, my child, and my son, Hunter.
You mentioned that you were really concerned about your youngest daughter.
Correct. We've just always been real protective of her, and she seems to be the one that mostly gets attacked. And, of course, she's coming downstairs to us crying, and there's no way for me to protect her. All you can do is hold her and tell her it'll be all right. although you don't know.
That would drive me crazy.
It hurts.
The house looks pretty new. How long you guys been here?
We've been here 23 years, 91. We built the house.
You guys have experiences from the beginning?
Just mischievous stuff. Nothing alarming, nothing frightening.
Okay, so why are you calling us now?
About a year and a half ago. It started getting ugly.
Have you guys tried anything to try to stop what's happening here?
A lot of prayer. A lot of shared prayer. Nothing's helped. I can't physically protect my family. I need help.
So there is this older man here. He's talking about two bedrooms. Two bedrooms that are important here. There's a male and a female in these two rooms that are having the problems. But then there's this other guy who's like younger. The younger guy is accusing him of being abusive. There's a relationship there. I'm thinking father, son, or grandfather, grandson. There's a lot of anger and tension here, and it's a lot between these two men. It's completely unhealthy. It's very, very stressful. You know, you can really feel it.
So why'd you bring me in the living room?
This is where most of my stuff has taken place.
Like what?
Me and my son came in the other afternoon. We're walking through the living room. The fireplace pokers started doing this, shaking all about.
Did it stop?
It stopped. We came back, walked back and forth, jumped all around in the room. That doesn't move. So we didn't do that.
You guys didn't have a violent storm or anything? Was it hot thunder or anything like that?
No.
Anything else like that ever happened?
We came in from church one Sunday.
Okay.
The whole family together. This sofa's pulled out from the wall. The other sofa behind me is pulled out from the wall. The recliner is turned around, facing the window.
You definitely weren't broken into, and nothing was breached?
Nothing moved. Nothing but those three items were moved in here.
As far as in here, I'm seeing movement issues. I am seeing leaving a room and it's, you know, something set up, say the balls are set up a certain way, coming back and everything's scattered. But I don't know who the is doing it. Nobody's copying to it.
So Tammy, I was talking to your husband, Jeff, about stuff that's going on in the house. Curious how you're handling things.
You know, it's just day to day. I've got just a bone-chilling fear for the safety of our kids at this point.
And Tammy, when I talked to Jeff, he seemed to think that whatever's here is kind of picking on Jessica. Is that accurate?
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. There's a lot more activity with Jessica, and it's a lot more physical.
And it's got to kill you as a mom.
It breaks my heart. You're constantly scared. You don't know what's going to happen next to your children.
Now, what about yourself? What about your experiences? Have you had any?
I was sleeping on my side of the bed one night and felt someone sit on the side of the bed, and it was like someone heavy. I mean, you could feel the mattress go down to the point that it pulled the covers tight on the bottom part of my leg.
And you sure it wasn't a dream?
I was positive it wasn't a dream.
Anything else?
Yes, there is a presence in this corner. Periodically, it's always in the corner by the gun cabinet, and you immediately know you're being watched.
What do you think this is?
I have no idea, Steve. All I know is it's dangerous, it's threatening, and it seems to be getting worse.
This older man is definitely causing people to be afraid. If they irritate him at all, he does creepy to kind of freak them out.
What does he do to them?
He'll come at night and like move around like a big spider on the floor.
On all fours?
But they're seeing like this dark thing, you know, moving around the floor in the room, going under the bed. And this freaks people out, or stand in the corner and watch people. It is creepy, and people do see, like, this black thing in the corner.
Do you know what this old man wants with the living?
He wants to control them like he controlled the people when he was alive.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, Hunter, I was talking to your parents, and they were telling me you're having a pretty tough time here.
Yeah. You feel very unwanted in the house.
Okay. What are you going through?
I see, we call it Shadow Man. I've seen it, 20-plus times, easy. And it's most time right in between those windows right there.
Is it possible that it's a shadow reflecting from outside at all?
I keep my blinds down. They're blackout blinds. You can't see through them.
Really? I know your sister's going through some stuff. You and her discuss this?
I try to keep it myself, honestly. She's already on edge. I've had probably up to 10 calls from her. Hey, are you in the house? No, I'm not even at the house. She said, I'm the only one home. There's somebody in the house. It's definitely attracted to her for some reason, and I don't know why.
I think the two bedrooms the old man was talking about, they're upstairs. There's a male here, and there's some kind of bonding between this person and the female in the other room. Well, there's something about the windows. I didn't like the windows. But the female. This room is, bad, bad.
So, Jessica, I was talking to Mom, Dad, your brother, Hunter, and it seems like whatever's here is kind of targeting you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are some of the things that are happening?
Well, a lot of times my drawers open by themselves. They just open, all of them. They're almost to the point where they're falling out of the dresser.
That far out?
Yes.
Is anything else moving around in the room?
Well, I've actually seen what I thought was a man in my room. It was in front of my bed, and it was actually going through my paperwork on my table. I heard the paper shuffling, so that's why I woke up. I called out to him, and he didn't answer. So I turned to turn on the light, and I came back, and the papers were moved. They were open when originally they were closed.
Okay. How are you sleeping at night?
I do have nightmares all the time, and I sleepwalk.
Give me an example of what you're dreaming.
I'd be outside The sky was red and everything had almost a red tint.
Okay.
People would be dancing. And then everyone would stop and just turn their head like they were looking at something. But then I'd wake up. So I never saw what they were looking at.
Okay.
This female, she has horrible nightmares. Horrible nightmares. Some she remembers, some she doesn't. Like, I see her waking up outside the house, like, what the But I don't know if these are just nightmares that she's having. When she's having these experiences, I think there's another force here, and it's causing a lot of physical phenomena. What the f***?
Well, what's going on?
She does see the older man. He watches. He calls himself the Watcher when all this going on. Why the f*** is he torturing this girl?
They'll touch me. I've been doing my hair before, and it just grabbed it right here and just snatched it. They were big fingers, so I felt like it was more of a man.
Wow.
From that point, it only got worse. At one point, something actually lay down behind me. It almost felt like it was spooning. It had its head, like, on me. I mean, I was terrified. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't even cry. And then it finally just got up, and I heard it walk out. And at that point, I just started crying. Like, I bawled my eyes out.
Okay.
And I've woken up with scratches.
Okay. You guys have a cat, right?
My cat's declawed.
How often is that happening, scratches?
The scratches only happen like 3 times.
Only 3 times. You hear what you're saying? I have a daughter, 23 years old. I couldn't imagine her coming to me and telling me the stuff you're saying. I mean, that would kill me.
I feel like there's evil in here. I want it to leave. I want our lives back.
There's these little dark things, like children. They're black. They're around the bed and touching her feet. They're climbing on the bed. They're climbing on her. They're incapacitating her, so she can't move. She can't yell. She can't do anything. She's like... like the air gets sucked out. I feel uncomfortable. Oh, I'm getting chills. Okay, I'm freaking out.
When I get to a new town, I put my feelers out to cops, historians, local professors. In this case, it paid off. I'm on my way to meet with a local genealogist who says all the early owners of Jeff and Tammy's property were slave owners. Now, I don't know if it's going to help my case, but it's something I definitely want to check out.
So, Cecil, you mentioned on the phone that some of the early owners of the property I'm investigating had slaves.
That's correct.
Okay, what can you tell me about him?
Well, the earliest guy that we have recorded was named John Martin. He shows up in the 1830 census, and it shows that he owned 33 slaves.
33?
33. He was a slave trader for the area of Macon, as well as he was a farmer.
I guess that would explain why so many.
Yes.
Okay, so now how long does he have the property?
Well, we have record that he sold the property in 1837 to a guy named Alexander Hunt.
Okay, so now he moves there. Is he a slave owner, too?
The 1850 census right here shows that Alexander has 38 slaves. So he has a few more than John Martin did.
Wow. All right, so for some reason this property has an abundance of slaves.
Right.
Okay, there's another man down here. He's got issues. He is very angry. He's probably like 6 foot. He's a big guy, big round dude. Like chubby and built. He's like sweating and he's really angry and hot. He's very protective of his space. He doesn't really want anybody else down here. So he definitely pushes the living away. people would feel him like a wall, like coming up behind them and like just kind of pushing them out.
The property is then sold to Joshua Harris.
Okay, now what about him as far as slaves go?
According to the records, he only has 6 slaves.
Okay, so how's it go for Joshua?
Everything seems to be going pretty well until the Civil War comes. And in 1862, one of his sons joins the Confederate Army. His name's James.
Okay. And do we have any idea how old that kid was?
James was 20. After he was in just north of Atlanta, he was captured and he was held prisoner of war. Joshua Harris had another son that was just a year younger named Franklin.
Franklin, I would assume, did the same thing as his brother.
No, Franklin did not join.
Why not?
I get the impression that his dad encouraged him and wanted him to, but you know how sometimes children are. No matter what you ask them to do, they do just the opposite. There's always a rebellious one in the crowd.
So now the war ends. What happens with Joshua and the farm?
Well, Joshua was able to hold onto the property, whereas many landowners were not able to.
Okay, so does he stay there or does he move on?
He stays there until he dies in 1895 at the age of 85.
Okay, what happened to his son James?
James is released as a prisoner of war when the war's over and he comes back.
What about the son Franklin that never went off the war?
Well, sometime after 1895, after his dad's death, Franklin and two of the sisters leave. And we find record of them in 1899 in Texas.
Okay, so did Franklin inherit any of the land?
Either he wasn't left any or maybe he sold his part.
Okay.
I'm seeing the older and younger man again. And they're fighting. It's uncomfortable. That younger guy was saying that this older man was abusive, physically abusive, you know, that he was torturing the family. He ruled with an iron fist. And I heard words, which was father, landowner, slave. The younger man doesn't have any thing in common with this older man. He doesn't like him. There's a lot of anger and resentment there. The older man's perspective to the younger man, there's a sense of disappointment.
And do you know if they have any kind of connection to this property?
Definitely the land. The younger man just kept talking about the land. He was talking about a massacre, something about a war. He said that there were a lot of innocent people. He also said something about murders. He said the dead weren't respected here.
So far, I've got a family being terrorized by unexplained activity and a property that was home to dozens of slaves. But I need to see if there's anything else that will help my case. Searching through old records, I find a battle that broke out between Union and Confederate soldiers right on my client's property. Obviously, I need to know more about this fight. So I reached out to a local Civil War expert who says it was a bloody battle, and the information will definitely help my case. So, Michael, why'd you want to meet here?
Joshua Harris, who owned your client's property during the American Civil War,
yeah,
is buried right here.
And how close is this spot to my client's property?
Probably 800-900 yards.
Okay. Now, you mentioned on the phone that there was a bloody battle that took place right on the property.
Yes.
What happened?
Steve, I'm sure you've heard of Sherman's March.
I have.
Troops moving from Atlanta to Savannah, wreaking havoc along the way, tearing up railroad tracks, stealing crops, livestock, burning barns, things of military value. And this is a period etching that an artist did depicting some of that destruction. The Confederates knew that Sherman was approaching, so they sent various units out to establish defensive positions, one of them right here.
Okay, so what happened?
On November 20th, 1864, Sherman's cavalry came right down this road out here. The Confederate troops were lying in wait in the heavily wooded area on each side of the road on your client's property.
Okay.
And as the horse soldiers got close enough, the Confederates charged.
Okay. So they got attacked and ambushed here?
Yes. And when the smoke of battle began to dissipate, 7 Confederates lay dead.
What about the Union side? Any casualties?
The records do not tell us that information, but it is certainly possible. And if we did have dead federal soldiers here, most likely the Confederates would have interred them in a mass grave. Steve, I think the real kicker for Harris in particular, earlier in 1864, Georgia's governor had ordered a census statewide. He wanted to capture the names and locations of all male citizens eligible to be called up into the service of the militia.
Okay.
Guess whose name appears on that list? Our guy, Joshua Harris.
Wow.
So I think there is a very good possibility he was fighting on his own property.
I am seeing a lot of activity. There's a lot of men in both of these directions. That group is very large. That one's the big one. That's a lot of men. That's like, you know, war. Like, I'm definitely feeling, you know, panic and stress, and, you know, it's loud. And that's very sneaky. It was very sneaky. It was planned. There's a lot of yelling between them. I think that they were being hunted, and that's why they're freaking the out and trying to hide the. Then I'm getting that the pain in my head like a son of a. It hurts a lot. I encountered several dead people during my walk, but the dark things surrounding a living girl's bed had me the most concerned. There was a thing, was actually standing to the side of her. Same body shape as a child. It had its hand over her mouth, and the way that the arm and the hand looked was not normal.
Is this what you saw?
Yes, that's what I saw.
Now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings to each other and our clients for the first time. Amy, I'd like you to meet two very worried parents, Jeff and Tammy. Everybody in the house is having experiences, including their son, Hunter, who I have a picture of here.
Okay.
Now, the main reason we're here is their daughter, Jessica. She's going through hell. And it's killing Jeff and Tammy that they can't do nothing to help her. And we're their last hope. So now that Amy knows who you guys are, I'm going to have her tell us about her walk.
So when I was outside, the first thing that I saw was a lot of chaos. There was some kind of big battle. There was a lot of men. There was some general who's like pacing around. Something about a massacre. And I could feel there's so much stress in this area.
I think I know what you might have seen. I wasn't shocked to find that there was going to be civil war activity in this area. But what I was shocked about is that you had a battle that took place right on your property. Now, what happened is in 1864, General Sherman led the Union Army on a march. Started in Atlanta, and he was going through the whole state. I got an artist's depiction of what happened. They destroyed everything. Now, on November 20th of that year, the Union Army came right across your property here, where they got ambushed. But it turned out worse for the Confederate side because they were badly outgunned. And they wound up killing 7 Confederate soldiers right here on your land. Now, did you guys know about the battle?
No.
No idea.
We knew there was Civil War activity around here, but we had no idea a battle took place.
So what else did you see?
As soon as I walked in, I saw this older male. He would show himself dressed in like a black cloak and black hat. He was extremely tall and he was angry. The other thing he made known was that he likes to make people feel fear. I was actually in the master bedroom. And he slid into the corner and was watching. And that's part of his thing, is he likes to watch people a lot.
I also got him like squatting down like a spider and like moving around the floor very quickly.
There's a presence in my room in the corner that I'll wake up and I know immediately I'm being watched. And it was interesting that you said about him getting small and towards the floor, because Jeff and I have recently talked about how we'll go to get in the bed and it's almost like you're a kid and you're afraid for your feet to get close to the edge of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
54 years old, I'm a grown man, and sometimes you feel like a kid running to jump in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I see the shadow person usually in the middle of the floor. It was looking through my papers like it was nosy. But Hunter sees him more than I do.
Wow. Okay.
When I look into my brother's eyes, I can tell he's scared.
I'm supposed to be the protector of my home. There's nothing I can do.
Any idea who this guy might have been when he was living?
Most of the information I got about him was actually through another person, a younger man. The younger man has a lot of anger and resentment towards this older man. So I kind of got like there was some kind of family connection here, whether this was father and son or grandfather and grandson. The older man, the only thing that came from him was his disappointment in the younger man, which the younger man doesn't give a shit about. He's like, I don't care. And I heard three words: father, landowner, slave.
One thing you gotta know about the property, the earliest owners all had slaves. There was three different owners that owned your land that had slaves before the Civil War broke out. The last slave owner who lived on the land was a guy named Joshua Harris, who came here in 1858. The big reason I'm thinking it's him is because of the relationship with his son. This guy, Joshua Harris, was a big supporter of the Confederacy because of where he lived, obviously. Now, I have a census here that says he was a reserve militia for the Confederate Army. And this guy was in his mid-50s. So I'll give you an idea how supportive he was. Now, he had a son named James who was 20 and he enlisted in the Confederate Army. Now, he had another son, Franklin, who was 19, who refused to go off and fight. Now, the genealogist I spoke to about the Harris family said that probably caused a lot of tension within the family. That's the only guy I can think of that fits that bill.
Yeah. Sounds like them.
Now, the thing about this Joshua Harris guy is actually buried right here on the property.
Oh, my God.
You could probably throw a rock how far he is from here.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
We had absolutely no idea he was over there.
So when I was talking to the older man, he showed me that there were two rooms in the house that were the most active. And these were two bedrooms, male and a female. And when I walked upstairs, I knew exactly the two bedrooms and that this was, in fact, what he showed me. So I went into the room where the boy was, and a lot of the chaos in there was the extreme amount of noise, movement, the windows. What I got was making the female in the other room feel like sad and isolated because the boy had kind of pulled away from being so close.
So was she saying making any sense to you?
She's nailing it. That's exactly how I feel all the time. It's like he's really distanced himself from everybody.
Well, then I went into the other room, and what I was seeing was horrible nightmares. Horrible. And I saw, like, you waking up occasionally in strange places.
We talked about that, how you sleepwalk.
Yeah. I know that I woke up in my brother's room before.
Tell Amy about some of his dreams you had.
Well, there were a bunch of people outside. Everything just had this red
glow.
Tint. Yes. And everybody was dancing. And then they all looked up like they saw somebody. But when I would look, I would just wake up.
Interesting.
It's very weird.
So what I saw was during some of these nightmares that there was actually phenomenon going on, like lights flickering, doors opening, closing, objects moving, things of that nature.
When I was younger, it was just minor stuff like drawers pulling out. I remember that my whole life.
Me and Hunter walked through one day just a couple of weeks ago, and the fireplace pokers about fell over.
Okay. What I was seeing was you were in the bed, and I saw these three things that were surrounding the bed. And at first, I thought, okay, those are children, because they're little, all black, like black shadow, but solid. Then I saw that one was actually grabbing your feet, and the other one up by your head had its hand over your mouth. What they were doing was manhandling you, basically incapacitating you, holding you down, and they were laughing at you because you were afraid. The other thing I saw in your room was the old man again. And he loves when this is going on. He thinks it's absolutely fascinating. And that's why he goes up and he'll watch when this is all happening.
She's got some stuff going on. She feels like she's being spooned in bed.
Yes. I woke up and I could feel something behind me spooning me, and its head was like right here, and I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't cry. I couldn't turn my light on. And it scratched me. I've woken up with scratches on my back.
Oh, man.
You kind of gasped when you heard that she was spooned in bed.
Well, that happened to me. It was second night after the walk. I was in my bed, and I felt someone from behind was holding me, and it felt very uncomfortable and inappropriate. And I believe it's the old man. I think he's kind of a predator.
I've begged it to leave her alone.
I wish I could go up there and slap the out of it, honestly, and make it leave.
I don't even want it to see that I'm afraid, because in a way, that means it wins.
Well, I did do a sketch of what I saw in the bedroom.
I gotta show it to you.
Wow. I've seen it. The reason I know I've seen that, that's what was trying to touch me.
When I got here, I told you guys I never know what Amy's gonna see. And I'm sure you weren't expecting to hear what she told us tonight. I wasn't expecting it. But at least now you know what you're dealing with. But the big question is, how do you fix it? For that answer, I'm gonna turn it over to Amy.
The first thing that I wanna focus on are the dead individuals that you have in the house. Obviously, the older man needs to go. So I would like for you to bring in an older male medium. I want him to have a lot of confidence in what he does. And I do want him to have a certain amount of, like, gruff, I guess you would say. This probably isn't going to be a very pleasant situation for the medium or this old man. And there's probably going to be a lot of fighting happening. The thing with removing the older man is that his son is going to go immediately. Once the medium moves on the older man and his son, I want you to take this tar water and put it on all of the windowsills and all of the doorways. This is gonna keep all of the dead out from now on. So you'll know there's no dead people anymore, but you might
still have experiences.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying that there's a possibility of aliens. Because that thing I saw was not a dead thing. It's not a demon. It's something that's visiting and taking you and your brother. Personally, I have a lot of issues with this, but when I looked and did my own research of this area, it was something that I couldn't not discuss.
Hey, let me get this straight. You're telling me she's being abducted, her and her brother?
I'm saying it's a very large possibility.
I wouldn't even know how you would begin to fight something like that. That's a whole another level of what the you do with that.
Now, is this something they can put a stop to?
Or is it something that they just kind of manage it?
They kind of manage it. What I would recommend is keeping a journal and kind of just documenting like any dreams you have or any further experiences so that you have as much recall as possible. And it's really up to you how you want to handle this. It's not going to be something that's on a regular basis. That would be highly unusual. So you can live with it.
How do you feel, Jessica? I mean, you're the one that's the main focus of what's going on here.
I didn't really want to believe that it was something from another dimension or anything like that, but I have no choice but to believe what Amy tells me and to do what she tells me to do.
To me, this sounds pretty simple as far as getting rid of the spirits that are here and knowing that we can prevent any more coming in. The other, we'll just have to tackle as a family as we do other things, and we'll work through it somehow.
I honestly feel that God gives us the tools to do whatever we need to do. He led us to y'all.
I wish I had better news for Jeff and his family, as dealing with alien activity can be terrifying. But I believe if they follow my advice, they'll be able to manage it. And with the help of a medium, the dead will no longer torment them in their home.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.